So yeah, just a bit more about Christy and I. We're engaged. We're going to get married in September. It was 3 months yesterday. We're not the most organised of people, so 3 months seems quite a short time actually left. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We'll get there. So we're from 24/7 Prayer Community in Essex. I'm not from Essex. I'm from Birmingham. I moved there because of 24/7 Prayer. Christy is born and bred Essex lad. Hasn't got the tan. It's to come. Yeah, so we love it. We love being a part of 24/7 Prayer. We really, it's changed our lives. Christy's been, he's grew up in that. When I was 18, it's just completely transformed the way I view God, the way I want to live my life and what I'm about. And we just want to really come and share with you guys. It's been so encouraging to hear your heart here. Just, you've been just so vulnerable. Just, I think that's really opened the door for God to move. I think you've set, I really feel like that was quite, you know, a move then. There was a real change in the atmosphere. I think us being vulnerable here together, God loves that. He's a vulnerable God, and he's going to meet with us as we do that. So it's just a real sense that we're on the journey together. Christy and I, we're not professionals. We can just share out of our experience. We're still learning. We still get it wrong. We're still too busy ourselves to pray often. But we know that there is something incredible to discover in the presence of God. So really excited. I had a dream about 2 weeks ago before I came here, and I felt like there was a couple of people in that dream. I never get dreams, and then this month I've had a few dreams, which has been really weird. But there was a couple of people in my dream. There was a couple of characters that I feel are here, so we'll, maybe there'll be some time for that in the end. But God has just really reminded me of that whilst we were worshipping. But yeah, I just want to start by just addressing this mindset of being too busy to pray, because that is certainly something that I struggle with, so we're not alone there. That's something we want to be busy for God. We want to be doing good things. God's so good. We want to share him, and we want to see this broken world restored and redeemed with the kingdom of God. And that's like, come on, yeah, let's do that. And that's really awesome, and I'm all about that. But it's when those sort of things become our identity. So I heard this really killer quote as I was prepping for this from Tim Keller. He said, when you're too busy to pray, you become a lodger in the house of God, not a sub. I don't want to become a lodger. Because when you become a lodger, you say, actually, I've got a leaky roof and I've been paying my rent, so what are you going to do about it? And the heating actually doesn't work, I'm really cold. And, you know, we become so busy, we do all this stuff for God, and we're like, okay, God, I really need you to really just break through in this area, and I really need you to just go before me in this, and I'm really tired, and I need your energy. And our prayers become, I need, I want, can you do? And it's all good things, but our relationship with God becomes this contract of, I've done this, now you do this, now da-da-da, and becomes like that. And it doesn't become about just being, about relational. Moses, I think, kind of epitomizes this the most in Exodus 33, at the top of Mount Sinai, and God says to him, right, you've done a really good job, I've had enough of these people, so you go on ahead, you do it, I'll give you that land, but I'm just not going to come with you. And that is like, that was Moses' mandate, wasn't it? To take the people from captivity into freedom, into the promised land. That was his. And so that's it. That he would have done his job. He would have done it. He's taken them. But Moses is like, and he would have, people would have been happy to be in the promised land. So he would have got the renown from people. But Moses is like, but that's not the most important thing. If your presence doesn't go with me, God, I'm not going to go. I'm not even going to go into the promised land. I'm not even going to have the fulfillment of all these things you've spoken over me and in me. I'm not going to go unless your presence goes with me. And I think we need to be thinking about that in our weeks. So even if we get everything we promised, if we promised by God, the biggest promotion, all those sort of things, we don't want to do it without God. Otherwise it's empty and it's deprived of love. So that's just kind of that's where I want to start today. I've just reflected, you know, my business, how much of this is about God, how much of this is about me being vulnerable, you know, how much of this is about my identity, how much of who I am is caught up in what I'm doing and not about who God is. And I think we just need to check ourselves, check our spirit, and even if we do nothing in our week and just pray, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be the best thing? Yeah, so that's just a bit of a challenge. That's just, we've all got, it says in the Bible, doesn't it? We've all got a room in God's house. It's already guaranteed. We know how this is going to end. Salvation is already there. We don't have to work for God's love. We're just loved. And out of that love, we can love. But we need to get those sort of things right. So what I want to do is I want to approach this in three ways. Okay, so the first way is prayer is our invitation to sonship. So you obviously were talking about Matthew 6, about that secret place, our Father who is in heaven. So first and foremost, prayer is about being a daughter. Prayer is about being a son. Prayer is about coming into your Father's house. When I go home to Birmingham, living in Essex, and I go to Birmingham, Christy often would say to me, "Shop, you don't really speak when you go home." You're like, I'm really loud. I'm a loud person. I've got a loud laugh. People know who I am. They would know Shel Young. But when I go home, I'm actually quite quiet around the dinner table. I am the youngest. That might have a part to play. But I'm quite quiet. And Chris was, it's really strange we do that. And I think, actually, when I go home, when I go to my Father's house, I don't need to be anyone other than me. I'm really content. I can just be Shel, and I know I'm loved. And I know I'm home. And there's something about coming home and coming home to God. You don't need to be anything other than the son, than the daughter of the Father. And about just being that and being sure of our sonship. So it says in Romans 8 something really beautiful in the Message. It says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, touches our spirit and confirms who we are, children of God. That's what I just love that picture. In school, we have a worship hour, and I was speaking about that this week with the kids. You know, kids that have got really painful experiences of fatherhood, kids that come from quite broken backgrounds, and to say, right, now we're just going to have a time where you ask the Holy Spirit to come and touch your spirit and confirm who you really are. And I think that's what happens in prayer. That's our identity. He confirms who we always were, which is children. And I think being a child is really freeing, isn't it? When you're a child, when you're like really, really, really young, you don't care about the gas bill, do you? You don't care about what clothes you're wearing. You do care that you're going to eat, but you don't care about how much that food's cost. So whether you go to McDonald's or whether you're eating the Ritz, it doesn't really matter, it's food, isn't it? So food doesn't really matter as long as you're eating. It's those things. When you're a child, you've got no cares in the world. What your life becomes about is just about having fun. It's about having love from your family. It's about obedience, about doing what your parents tell you to do. And I think when we view prayer like that, we just take ourselves a lot less seriously. I think I've had to get over myself quite a few times when I've been praying or when I've been looking back on my week and being like, Shel, you take yourself so seriously. Like, be a child. Have fun. God, like a dad, I take pictures of my dad. Like, he takes me to the play park, sits on a bench, and he loves to see me, as a child, not now, that'd be a bit weird. Like, just playing on the playground, doing those, like, monkey bars, going down the street, enjoying myself. God loves to see us enjoy ourselves. He loves that. I was really fortunate to have a great dad, but not all of us have had a great dad. And I think God wants to restore fatherhood to us. Even my dad, who was brilliant, has failed me and isn't the perfect image of the perfect God, our Father. You know, my dad used to... really funny, he'll be really embarrassed if I told people in public, but my dad used to, when we go to church on a Sunday morning, he'd like dry my hair with a hairdryer and like really spend about an hour doing my hair really nicely, just because I think he liked to spend time with me. He just would love to do that. And then he'd have to do my sister because she'd get really jealous, so he'd have to do that, so then we'd have to wake up really early. My dad, he works in the centre of Birmingham, so I'm a bit of a Brummies, Midlands area over there. But he would come home, he's a civil engineer, I don't really know what that means or what he ever did. He's retired now, so I don't need to. But he would work 7 in the morning till like 8 at night, like every day. No, every day, Monday to Friday. And then, but when I was like playing sports, he would come at 3 o'clock, he would come home from work, he'd be like, sorry guys, my daughter's playing hockey today. I used to be in the goal, okay? So it's not even like I was doing anything like really cool. I was like in the goal. You probably, no one could see me. One time a bee came and stung me on my face. I couldn't do anything about it because I was wearing those big goalie things. Anyway, but he would come home early from work just to watch me play hockey because he's proud of me and he wanted to support me. One time I got hit here by a hockey ball. Like really, that's hard, isn't it? And it was funny because he just like... I just like went straight back on the floor and he like ran onto the pitch. It was really embarrassing. I was like, go away. Because he's a supportive dad. I used to, if it was like a little bit of rain outside before I was walking to school, I'd be like, oh, dad, it's like chucking it down with rain. Do you think he could give me a lift? And he would make him late for work. He'd have to go to the like traffic for an extra half an hour. But he would like give me a lift to school. Or I'd be like, oh, Dad, do you have any money? Because I'd like some lunch today. My mum would know nothing of this. If she knew, she'd be like, yeah, I'd be in trouble. But he'd be like, yeah, go check my jacket. I'd like jingle his jacket, and there'd be like £10 in pound coins. I'd be like, yes! He doesn't know. And then I'd take it and go and have like a big old lunch that day. Because my dad's generous. Like, these are... That's my dad, and he's great. But our father in heaven, how much more kind... How much more generous? How much more does he just want to sit and do our hair? Do you know? That's the dad that he is. We need to... Prayer is about sonship. It's about being a daughter. It's about coming as a child before God and just being you and just spending time with your father. And we need to... That's like... That was the first thing that Jesus taught about prayer, wasn't it? It's our father. We need to know. We need to know and we need to know really deep within that he's... Our dad that cares, and our dad that just loves us to have fun, and our dad that just loves to release us and do things just because he's kind. He'll take you to work in the rain just because he's kind. Do you know? That's what our dad is like. And that's what, well, if we're too busy to pray, then we miss out on that. We miss out on this tender, kind, warm, compassionate, ever faithful, ever generous God. So that would be my heart for you first and foremost, is that you would let the Holy Spirit touch your spirit and confirm who you really are. That we are children, and God just loves that. Okay, so the second thing that I want to look at is that prayer is about encounter. Christy, your phone's got that.
Oh yeah.
Thing on it. So I want to read to you 2 Corinthians 3, 16 to 18, but from the Message, because I think this is really a beautiful way of putting it. So if you close your eyes, that might be easier, so you can take it in. I'll read it slowly, and not in my Brummie accent. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old, constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming more brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. I just think that is beautiful, isn't it? And I just think this is the bit of prayer. So we become like these children, and then God says, okay, now I want to remove the veil. I want to remove the things that stop us from meeting. I want to remove your busyness. I want to remove your striving. I want to remove your hardness or whatever it is that's stopping us from getting to God. He removes that and he says, and I want to meet you face to face. And there's this encounter with the living personal presence. And that is the cool, that is just the awesome, the cool thing about prayer. Is that we can meet God face to face. And I think God is a vulnerable God. There's times in the Bible that we really see that God is vulnerable. He cares about our response, not because he's insecure, because he cares. Because relationship is two-way. So he loves us, and he loves us, and he loves us. But he cares about our response. And in that face-to-face encounter with God, he wants to know that we love him. There's that bit in John 21 where Peter's denied Jesus three times, and I think it's really great because then Jesus gives him these three opportunities to redeem that, doesn't he? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Jesus cares, and almost you can, when you read that, it's almost like you can feel and appreciate that vulnerability of Jesus. Do you love me? And that's that intimate place, that's that secret place, isn't it, of encounter that we can have. I remember, I'm in a really fortunate position that I've been able to be a part of a community for years that has a prayer room that we are instructed and disciplined to spend time in. So like sometimes that's really good for me, just to be said, this is who we are as a community, we are going to pray. And that's my commitment. So sometimes I go not expecting anything, and I meet with God. But I can just remember all these encounters that I've had in that secret place with God, in this thin place where people have prayed before me, and I can go and I open the door, close the door, and say, right, God, this hour is ours. What are we going to do with it? I remember as an 18-year-old just really crying out to God, because when you're 18, you're all about, what's my destiny? Where am I going? God, what are you going to do with my life? And I just remember really having no sort of, is that everyone now? It's much later. So that's what I was like then. And so I just remember having all these incredible encounters with God, actually where he just broke my heart for all these things. And most of my prayer times, I would just cry. I'd cry and I'd pray prayers again and again and again. And that's what that season was like for me. It was just like, that's my encounter with God. More recently, in the past few years, I've had encounters where I've been tired of just doing things, really tired. And actually, my hours just become quiet. So this week, I had an hour in the prayer room and I was just quiet and just like, God, this is so amazing. I can just spend time with you. We had a day of solitude on Saturday and silence. And so for the first 4 hours, we didn't say anything to each other. I did it with three other people. And that was so releasing for me just to spend that time with God like that. I've had times where God's just said my name and that completely undid me. Completely undid me. I was like coming and I wanted all these answers and all God said was, shut up. And that just unraveled me for that time. I was like, God knows my name. I'm known by God. That's the face-to-face encounter that we can have. What's really cool is that also we can lead other people into that place of encounter, and that we can be there whilst God is doing that. So it's not only about us, but it's about God doing that through other people. I'm a chaplain in a secondary school, and I do a lot of mentoring with students. And one of the people I mentor, so is a boy who's 14, and his story, the fact that he can walk through that door, and the fact that he has this really cool gel hair, and that he really, you know, all those things, the fact that he can do that, having the life that he has had, he is an incredible human being, far more resilient than I could ever be. I'd be in a heap crying, I don't know what I'd do. But this one time we were talking about forgiveness, and his mom has burned him with cigarettes in the past. He's had people have had to take him from his home because his parents were into drugs and all these sort of things. And it was like within this last year, all that sort of stuff was going on. So he has experienced real trauma, real brokenness. And we're talking about forgiveness. And he said to me, "Shaul, what is a world without forgiveness?" So then I was like, okay, we're going to pray. So he's been on a bit of a journey with prayer. He's not from a Christian background. He just knows how to pray through the chaplains. Christy's met with him before as well. He was like, no, actually, I didn't suggest we pray. I was thinking, I've got to go to our next mentoring meeting. This is really, really cool, but I've got about 10 kids to see. And so I was like making my exit. And he was like, Shaul, are we going to pray? I was like, Yes, we are going to pray. That is a good idea. Put your papers back down. Okay, so too busy to pray? Too busy to pray? I'm too important to not capture this moment, maybe? So this boy challenges me. So we say, okay, let's pray. So he starts to pray, and he says this incredible set. He's like, Father, he said, teach me how to pray. So I say, Our Father. And then he came up with this really cool prayer. Our Father, who is the Holy One, who is the Almighty. So he starts praying, so it's pretty cool. And he's like, God, I thank you that you forgive me. I know I've done really wrong things, and I've meant them. And I thank you that you forgive me. And I want to forgive my parents for what they've done. I don't want to forget it, because I don't want to be like them. But I want to forgive them. Show me how to forgive them, God. And then he went, Shaw. I was like, what? He's like, I can see God. I said, wait, what does he look like? And he was like, he's in a cloud. He's in a cloud and he's got a beard. But he was crying. He was like crying because he's meeting God. And we meet God in a canteen room in his school uniform. And he's just about to go back to assembly. And I was led into the presence of God. I met him face to face through this boy. So it's incredible. It's just like such an incredible, that's like what God does, isn't it? That's those sort of, that's what we want every day. I got to take this, where I used to live in Reading, worked in a council estate in Reading. And there was this woman who, she was 34 at the time, smoked 80 fags a day. She had no teeth. She had 4 kids. Just had a life of real brokenness as well. And she like really became one of my really good friends. She like wanted to go wherever I went. So I was going to Guildford for a 24/7 prayer thing, and I was like, do you want to come? She was like, yeah, I'll come. I was like, okay, cool. So it's prayer, so that's what we're going to do. She was like, yeah, it's fine. And so whilst I was there, I was like, I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm going to like take her into the prayer room. So I took her into the prayer room, which she was really nervous about going into. And then she was looking around. She can't read or write. So it's a really good job. Prayers are quite creative, so she got to see lots of things. And then I started to pray for her. And I have never seen her cry. She's a hard nut. But she was completely undone by the presence of God. So we were there for about half an hour. She comes out. She sits outside. Just for about another 20 facts, just while she was sitting there. She met with God, and actually, a few months later, this lady died because she was just so ill. But it's just like, what a privilege to be a part of that. Not only can I experience this unravelling of God and when I meet him face to face, that we get to be a part of that for other people. And that is the beauty. So prayer is about sonship and prayer is about encounter. But also prayer is about partnership. So those stories I was telling you just now, that's about me partnering God. I did a bit of a Bible degree, and this guy Bosch was like the most renowned. You have to quote Bosch and you'll get a first. That's the way to do it. So I was like, right, I'm going to do it. But he had this whole theory of God is a missional God. God is a missional God because he wants to bring his kingdom and he wants to restore all things. And that's the God that we have. But we need to know, before it comes to partnership, we need to know that we are sons and that we are daughters. We need to know our identity is in him. It's not in what we do. It's not in our status. It's not in our jobs. It's not in the relationships we have. It's not about how many friends, how many Facebook likes and how many Twitter retweets we get. It's not that, is it? Our identity is in God. And we need to know that we are sons and that we are daughters. And we need to see God in that quiet place, to have that encounter. We need to know love. We need to know that he's that living, personal presence. And then we get to partner with him. And then when we do partner with him, it's in that right place. It's in that place of being a son, being a daughter. It's in that place of knowing that he's real, knowing that he's powerful, knowing that his presence is incredible, that we can go out. So there's these phrases in 24/7 prayer that you breathe God in and that you breathe him out. That you meet God in the prayer room and then you get to share him. And there's ways and means that works out in the different communities of 24/7 prayer. But it's that knowing the heart of God. Hearing what God says, seeing what God does, and then you get to speak it and then you get to do it. It's about partnership. So we in prayer, we experience that God's love is not only for us, but it's for all of creation. And we get invited to be a part of something bigger in that encounter. You can't help but go to a prayer room and come and be changed. Your whole mindset, your whole heart, your whole passions, you can't help but that be changed when you meet with the living God, because he's so broad and so big. I used to have a blog back in the day when they were cool. And my blog was called Caught Up in Something Bigger. So I used to really record these things that would happen in Reading, because there were some funny experiences and things that you needed to record, like this person with schizophrenia who threw her engagement ring in the bin one day. That was just because I caught up in something bigger. Where I'm from is like white middle class suburbia. I'm from St Caulfield. Do you know St Caulfield? Yeah, that's where I'm from. So like, and then so from this white middle class girl who's quite a sheltered upbringing, I was just like taking this real journey through prayer, because being with God's an adventure. It's so cool. You experience his love and he says, now go share it. Now go to send, I'm sending you out to be a part of this bigger picture. So I want to read to you from Colossians 1:19, again in the Message. I think it's great. So I'll just read this. So he was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From the beginning to the end, he's there, towering far above everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God, everything, finds its proper place in him without crowding. There's room for God. There's room for more. There's room for this whole creation in him. And not only that, but all, this is the incredible thing. This is the thing that just undoes me. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. And that is the hope that we have, isn't it? When we go to pray, we experience this hope that is like unreal almost. Like, how can you have such hope in such a broken world? How can you have such like passion for change? How does that all happen? It's because we experience the kingdom, and in the kingdom there's all this fullness of joy, there's restoration, there's redemption, there's salvation, and that's what we experience in prayer. And then we look out at the world and we think, and God can do it here, and God, I want you to do it here, and God, I want you to fix all these broken lives and all these broken towns and all these broken countries. And God says, okay, I send you because you know it. So quite often in the 24/7 movement you'll hear this phrase that says 24/7 wrecked my life. 24/7 wrecked my life. All people say it, don't they? That's what they all say. It's pretty cliche now, but it's because people experience something of God in that place of prayer. And it changes everything. It changes everything. Just a couple of stories from my experience of doing that. Just that it's a wild adventure. I was just thinking today, me and Christy were in Madrid for a 24/7 gathering, and we were part of that is to they have an auction and they raise loads of monies for people all over the world that are involved in 24/7. And me and Christy are really challenged to give. We've got no money. He's a student. I work part-time for a charity, and then I live on whatever people give me. Or God gives.
That's the same.
So we were like, okay, we've decided this amount, and we want to be part of this auction. So we were like really excited to like be really generous, blah, blah, blah. So we had this amount, and then we started bidding, and then loads of people just gave us more and more and more money. So we were like really bidding, like loads. And we were like, woo! And we got to give loads of money to these people in South Africa, which are doing incredible work. And we were like, that is such a cool story. Isn't that cool? Wow, God is so good. We get to partner with him. And what we've been given, we can give out. Next day, we're like packing up. And I obviously packed too much for my bag. So I was like really trying to get it in. And then I was like, it's not going to fit. So I went and knocked on Christy's door and said, can you put this in your bag, please? And he's like, ugh. So he took that, closed the door. But then, I don't know why he started unpacking my pockets.
Oh, because you had a pair of sunglasses in the coat.
Yeah.
And I needed to fold the coat up.
Okay.
So I was taking the sunglasses.
Christy's quite particular about his packing routine. He doesn't stuff. He's a folder. So he went into my pockets and got my sunglasses out. And as he did that, he pulled out a 200 euro crisp note. That was not there before. I don't know where that came from. Like, We just God's generous, just partner with it, it's a blessing. So like the thing is you say to God, I want to be part of this, and he's like, brilliant, I'm going to send you, and you get to go to all, you know, be a part of this adventure with God about seeing his redemption and his rescuing all things, and he blesses you as well. You get blessed. You get blessed in seeing lives being put back together. That woman that I told you about, I think God might have even sent me to Reading just to be a part of her life for a couple of years. And I'm so blessed. I'm still telling her story. They asked me to speak at her funeral. I thought I was going to get beaten up because it's just like all these scary people are going to speak about the person that you love most. But like, because God says, I want you to be part of her story. Just recently, I went to South Sudan, which is a country which is still at war, basically. We went there to bring, so I work for a charity part-time as well, and it's all about bringing healing and God's restoration and forgiveness to these sort of places. And I was like, right, part of a healing organisation. I really haven't seen much healing in my life. We've really prayed for it a lot in our community, and that's not something that God's brought forth yet. So I just really, really love to see a healing. I'd really love to see God move. And there was, the first day we were there, there was this lady under a tree called Rachel, and she had malaria, she had diarrhea, she had fever, she was really, 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 really ill. And the coolest place for her to be was under this tree on a mattress. And I was like, I think I'm going to go pray for her. So I pray for her, nothing happens. So I've been here before, so that's okay. God still loves you, God's still good, I believe it. Next day, this lady's serving me tea and coffee, completely healed. So then I was like, right, I'm going to pray for more people right now. So then this guy with typhoid, who'd just been let out of hospital with no doctors, there's no doctors there, there's no medicine there. He had a drip and he had to try and find someone to put his drip in his Tuchel, in his mud hut. That's what he was doing as he walked past my Tuchel. So we prayed for him, and the next day he's completely healed. He comes to these conferences and tells his story. And then, right, we're like, right, okay, so God can do anything. So then, one of the last days of these conferences, there was just a big line of people. We had all the team that were out, and we were just praying for people, and there was this big line. And that day, we saw 25 people that were blind, healed of blindness. It's just, but, like, for me to be part of this organization, it's just really crazy, because, like, you know, I'm really about 24/7, but I just needed a job. I just needed a job, and this kind of came up. And this is like such a cool adventure. 2 weeks' time, I'm going to go to the DRC and hopefully see more of the same. But this is the story for me of prayer, and I hope it is your story as well, is that we can be sons and daughters of God, and we can just have fun, and we can know love, and we can enjoy him, that we can meet him face to face, and that in that encounter that we feel his heart. Jesus cried over the city. He's crying over our cities and over our towns. The blood kind of... It cries out to God, doesn't it? And that's what the earth is crying out. It's groaning for its redemption. So we have these encounters with God, and then God says, "Okay, now I want to send you. I want to send you out. You're equipped with my presence, and I want you to be part of bringing my kingdom come." So that's kind of what I want to really share with you guys.
Some questions,
huh? Yeah, we're going to have some questions now.
Is it like
on the board?
So Sanjay, just to show, I don't know if you've got any plans about how to split into groups.
Yeah, you share the questions and we'll split.
But so, yeah, what we're going to do now is going to split into some small groups, and we've prepared some questions for you to help you reflect on some of this and just discuss some of this. So I'm going to write them on the board and I'll just go through with you now, and then Sanjay will split one into groups and stuff. Yeah, so the first one we're going to do, as a reflection one, why pray? Why bother praying? We're busy doing stuff, and so why pray? That's question number one. The second question that I've written down here is, where do you find your identity? Where are you finding that right now as you are? I hope this is a safe place for you to share some of this stuff. If you find it is sensitive or you don't want to, then sure, whatever. But I hope this is a safe place. And so please, let's share some of this stuff and talk it through. And then, because we've got 15 minutes, another question is... what's your experience of prayer, of the relationship between prayer and mission? So what's your experience of the relationship between intimacy and involvement, between being busy and being still? What's your experience of that personally? And let's just share some of these ideas, see where each other are at, and that'll help us as we go into the next session where we talk more practically about maybe how we can go through some of these things as individuals and as groups and as churches and stuff. Does that sound good, yeah?